an increase in sanctions, and an increase in rhetoric.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. North Korea is threatening a preemptive nuclear strike against the United States as the United Nations prepares to vote this morning on a resolution that would boost economic sanctions on North Korea. The BBC's Lucy Williamson joins us from Seoul, South Korea, with the latest. Good morning.
Morning.
Well, what would these new sanctions do?
Well, these new sanctions really are about targeting the funding that the US believes is going into North Korea's military program. So, for example, they're going to tighten up on North Korea's international bank accounts. That's something that's proved quite successful in the past. The US froze several million dollars in a Macau bank account in 2005, and that was seen to have a greater impact, perhaps, than some of the sanctions have had since then. So that's one tactic they're trying. Another is to clamp down on illicit activities by North Korea's diplomatic personnel, and also to try and stop large amounts of cash going into the country, sort of being taken into the country by hand. So those are some of the things that the sanctions are designed to do, as well as, it should be said, for the first time, spelling out what exactly luxury goods mean. So they've got a list of items, yachts, racing cars, that kind of thing, to try and close any loopholes in the existing sanctions.
And what are we to make of this threat from North Korea, of a preemptive nuclear attack against the United States?
Well, it certainly sounds pretty dramatic, doesn't it? And it certainly got the world's attention. But we know that North Korea does talk a lot of this kind of, you know, very inflammatory rhetoric. It's par for the course. Most analysts believe it would be extremely unlikely for North Korea to start a war with the world's only superpower. Having said that, the atmosphere here on the Korean Peninsula is tense at the moment. There's a lot going on. The Security Council vote, the military exercises between the US and South Korea, here in the South. There's a lot of tension, a lot of moving parts.
The BBC's Lucy Williamson in Seoul, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, the Geneva Motor Show opens to the public today in Switzerland, and it comes at a time when car sales in Europe are terrible and many European automakers are struggling to survive. Christopher Worth reports.
In the automaking business, Philippe Ujois, an analyst at UBS, says there's a very important rule to live by.
Cars become stale after a while.
You need new models, and that's what car shows are for. General Motors is unveiling a new convertible Corvette in Geneva. U.S. car makers are on the rebound. But David Bailey of Coventry University says this year, struggling European automakers don't have much to show. With car sales in Europe at a 17-year low, there's little money to spend on innovation.
It could cost up to $1 billion to get a genuinely new car to market, so it's hugely expensive.
Francis Peugeot and Renault have presented revamped SUV-style models, but Philippe Ujois of UBS says the risk is that as profits drop further, European manufacturers will fall into a downward spiral. Less investment means fewer new cars.
And over time, you drop off the shopping list of car buyers.
And that, he says, is an opportunity for U.S. carmakers and others to snatch up European customers. I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in global trading this morning, up 0.3% in Tokyo, 5.5% right now in London. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 42 points to close at yet another new record, 14,296.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Facebook is unveiling changes to its news feed later today in an effort to sell more ads. The company and its rivals are also exploring location-based advertising to make more money. But it turns out that determining your exact location is not as easy as it sounds. Marketplace's Queena Kim reports.
Coupa Cafe in downtown Palo Alto is a popular hangout with Stanford students and techies.
Hey, can I get a ham sandwich? And hey, do you have internet here?
Yes.
When I get to my table, I turn on my phone. And I open my browser, and it takes me to Facebook.
Check in for free internet, it says, so I can log in.
Putting in my email, putting in my password. And I'm signed into Facebook and online. You can bypass the sign-in, but that wasn't totally apparent to me. The social network says it's experimenting with a few local businesses to, quote, offer a quick and easy way to access free Wi-Fi after checking into Facebook. Rocky Agarwal is a consultant with Redesign Mobile, and he suspects there's more to this than goodwill.
It's a good way for Facebook to know where you're at. And once Facebook knows where you're at, they can deliver all sorts of new offers.
I thought Facebook already knew where we were. Why do they need to do this?
It's really not that simple.
Companies are banking on location-based advertising to bring in big money on mobile. But there are a lot of hurdles to clear before companies like Facebook can target my location precisely. Matthew Groves created the app, Dude, Where's My Car? It relies on GPS, and that can be problematic.
It all depends on where you're at. Are you in a parking garage? Are you around tall buildings or trees? Basically, do you have a clear view of the sky?
Using location data from cell towers is another option. But Grove says that's less accurate because there's not enough of them. To get around that problem, he says companies like Google are testing their own Wi-Fi hotspots, which offer free internet. As for Facebook, it gave Coupa a wireless router, which can be tied to a location. Agarwal says you can imagine tech companies like Facebook sending out millions of routers to businesses.
So all of a sudden you have precise locations on every single business that you ship that to.
And so one day soon, someone like me could get an offer for a free smoothie to go with that ham sandwich. In San Francisco, I'm Queen Akim for Marketplace.
And finally, to a new study that says despite a 737% increase in the price of gas over the last 40 years or so, we still love driving alone. More than ever, in fact. According to the LA Times, the average number of people in a car these days is 1.38. That's down from 1.9 back in 1970. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.